Next hearing is the 23rd, right?
Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, March 26, 2014 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atahera-Taylor, who's the executive secretary at the controls for the hearing today. We do have a slight technical problem with our clock. It doesn't do a countdown like it usually does, but we will have an audible beep when the time is up. So going to general information about the hearing today, the project sponsor, or applicant, will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting of a variance have been met. More on that in a minute. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each. If there is any public comment in opposition to the project, then the sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, or at the end of the item, I may take the matter under advisement and make a decision today or continue it to a future date. There are 2 items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of those 2 items, please step forward at the time the item is called. Otherwise, this item would be granted, or those items would be granted. There'll be a general public comment at the end of the calendar for items that are not on the calendar today, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak on that. Now, criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the current number of variance cases and backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. We have hired additional staff to help process these cases, and we actually have 3 planners that are sitting in the back row here today, Laura Aiello, Tina Chang, and Allie Kirby, who either have cases on this calendar or will have them on future calendars. So that'll help cut down on our backlogs. If anyone would like a copy of a decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets that are on the table by the far wall. Again, no decision is final till that letter is issued, and that decision letter is the decision that carries the appeal right. So there is an ability to file an appeal to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter, not of any action at the hearing today, but of the issuance of the decision letter. So it's very important that you sign in on the sign-in sheet to get a copy of that decision letter if you would like to appeal any decision that may be made here today. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss, and we would respectfully request that that be done outside the hearing room to avoid any disruption to the items that are being heard. The next variance is scheduled for Wednesday, April 23rd. And audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 2011 hearing are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And now we can move on to a couple of housekeeping items. I think we'll go for the continuances first. There'll be 3 items that appear on the regular calendar, which will be continued each because of a discretionary review request. The first is item number 3 on the regular calendar, 2479 Francisco Street. This item will be continued to April 10th, where we will have a joint discretionary review variance hearing, and Corey Teague, Assistant Zoning Administrator Corey Teague, will be the acting zoning administrator at that hearing on the 10th. Item number 4 will be continued to a joint Planning Commission discretionary review and variance hearing next week on April 3rd.
And the third item is going to be 2825 Lake Street, which is actually going to be continued to the next regularly scheduled variance hearing on April 23rd and likely subsequently continued again to a joint hearing date. We just don't have the discretionary hearing date for the Lake Street case yet, so we're continuing it 1 month to the hearing on this hearing on the 23rd. The other two items, the 882 Carolina and 2479 Francisco Street, those hearings on the 3rd and the 10th will be on Thursdays, and they'll be in room 400 of this building for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission. And if anyone has any question about those hearing items, they should contact the staff planner. If there's any public comment on the continuance of any of those three items, just to the matter of the continuances themselves, please let me know. Seeing, is there any public comment on, you have public comment on
the 882 Carolina? I'm confused. Is it being continued? We're not going to have a variance hearing today on that?
If you could step forward, but yes, that's correct. So there's still a discretionary review that's been filed. My understanding, it has not yet been withdrawn and is scheduled for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission next Thursday. So we'll have the variance hearing combined with the discretionary review hearing next Thursday. Has the discretionary review been withdrawn?
No.
Then we'll have the hearing next week. No. No. We've already told the other members of the public that the item will be continued to a joint hearing. So that's what we've been telling folks. So. Thank you. Any other public comment on either of those three items? Seeing none, we will continue again 2479 Francisco Street to joint hearing with the Planning Commission on April 10th, 882 Carolina Street to a joint hearing with the Planning Commission on April 3rd, and 2825 Lake Street to the next variance hearing on April 23rd, likely to be further continued to a joint hearing with the Planning Commission. And we can move on to our consent items.
There are two items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2013.0892V, 1544 Cayuga Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Item number two, case number 2014.0031V, 1150 Webster Street, front setback variance sought.
Is there any public comment on either one of these two items? It's item number one for 1544 Cayuga Street, and item number two for 1150 Webster Street. Seeing no public comment on either of those items, I'd be inclined to grant the requested variances. Yes?
She wants to say something about 1544 Cayuga Street.
Okay. So you're a member of the public?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll take...
It's a member of the owner. It's the owner.
Oh, so... Oh. So the intention is that this would be granted if there is no public comment. So, sir, do you have a – so you have – there's no comment on Cayuga then other than the project sponsor. And, sir, you have comment on
– I'm thinking there was going to be something on the property on Bell Street, 562-56-554 Bell.
Yes, that'll be item number nine, so it'll be heard in probably 20 minutes or so.
Oh,
yeah. So if there's no public comment in opposition on items number one or two, then those items are granted, and we can move on to our regular calendar. Since items number three and four have been continued, we'll be going to item number five.
Item number five. Case number 2013.1592V, 1177 Guerrero Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello.
Sorry. I'm just going to show some pictures here if I can. This structure right here is our structure in the rear yard.
Would you please move the mic closer to your mouth so we can record you? Thank you, sir.
This is our own structure. It's a bit old, and it's a little bit of an eyesore, and it sits on the property line side yard and takes up an extreme amount of the rear yard. And behind that, where it hits the back property line, you'll see a three-story structure that's a bit unique to most properties in San Francisco, just having this four-story structure, but right up against the back of your yard. See if I can find a couple more pictures just to get a good idea. There's a better image of that structure to the rear. So our extraordinary circumstances here, what we have is our own structure, which we're planning on rebuilding. We're going to make it, it's currently 417 square feet. We're going to shave that down to 217 square feet with a green roof and 112 square feet of trellis. It's 10 feet 4 inches tall, and our proposed structure will be 10 feet 1 inches tall. That's 3 inches below the existing one. And essentially we'll have 88 square feet less of structure than currently exists. And the exceptional, extraordinary circumstances are that this building essentially towers over the whole yard, and we have some pretty strong privacy issues. There's a landing you can see in the picture right here, and there's windows on the back of this building. And so what we're proposing is to replace our not-so-beautiful rear yard structure with a very nice, clean green roof and trellis, essentially blocking that larger structure that would be behind it from, you know, giving our residents, this owner, a bit of privacy and not taking away from green space. So as other buildings look down, they're still seeing green backyard, which is, I think, what the goal is. Yeah. Essentially that's our exceptional, extraordinary circumstance, is this three-story tall building in the back, and trying to pull a little bit of privacy and clean up the backspace. I mean, this is also going to be beautiful for the neighbors. It's not just, you know, going to add value to our property, but it will add value to the other properties. And the neighbors that we spoke with are very happy to see this design. Practicality and difficulty. Subject property owners have an unnecessary hardship here. And this is where the property will not only clean up for ourselves, but we'll have an elegant trellis and a beautiful green roof garden for the surrounding neighbors to enjoy. I'm just going to keep reading through a couple of these. Number three, preservation of enjoyment. The owner's subject property, they're entitled to privacy on their own property, and the trellis will allow a small section of the yard to be subject from public view. This structure will also take away from it will not block anybody from viewing any trees or any sky. It's compared to the buildings around it, it's extremely low. Number four, detrimental to public welfare. The proposed structure is not determined detrimental to public
30
welfare.
30 seconds.
Again, it's just going to be, you know, making things look a bit more beautiful on the property and blocking some of the rear windows that face this this rear structure from that taller, towering, not-so-well-maintained building. And it will be harmonious with the structures around, and essentially what I think is trying to happen in backyards is allowing for green space.
Thank you. So you noted the size, the overall area, the footprint of the building is getting smaller. It's currently a fairly large square, and it's going to a rectangle that'll be pushed to the very rear of the property.
You got it.
The green roof. And, you know, you did show that there's kind of no real solid pattern of mid-block open space because of the building behind you, which clearly encroaches, in, you know, to what would be the common mid-block open space. But you're having a green roof on here. How will you plan on maintaining the green roof?
I think the owners will be maintaining it. It's kind of something that they would like to do, essentially just getting a ladder and going up on the roof and weeding if necessary or cleaning. So it would be the owners' kind of enjoyment to have a little green roof.
And would there be need for irrigation, or would there be drought-tolerant species that would be planted there that would not need any landscaping? Or
yeah,
any
I think it's
irrigation?
To, you know, the goal is to go with local California-type species. But, yeah, the low maintenance is a goal. Again, a little bit of watering from the clients and or, you know, our beautiful weather that allows typically for more rain. And it drains, so we don't have any issues with overflowing. The owners will be looking forward to maintaining it themselves.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 5 for 1177 Guerrero Street? Seeing none, the public hearing will be closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that there's an existing legal non-complying structure in the required rear yard that's being reduced in size in order to provide quality usable open space for the subject property. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2013.1670V, 51 Oakwood Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, my name is Joram Altman. I'm the architect for the owner and the project. The variance here is a request to rebuild an existing stair and deck that can be seen here in these photographs, which is dry rotted and needs to be replaced. The stair and deck encroach into the required open space between the rear set building shown in red here and the front building. The stair and deck lead to the second floor, which is the main level of the building, and is the legal entrance and exit for that space, because the internal stair is a spiral stair that doesn't comply with current code. Currently, there exists an identical building adjacent to this one that has the same sort of stair and deck, which is shown here. And the deck, actually, the purpose of the deck is to allow access to the center of the building where the front door is, and the main sort of circulation on the second floor is from the center of the building. This is the front door right here. The deck will be constructed in exactly the same size. And the stair will be the same configuration except for the required firewall at the property line. The firewall will be approximately the same height, or actually slightly lower than the current fence and trellis or lattice that exists on the adjacent property. That's my presentation.
Thank you. So we have two buildings on the slot, that's correct? There's two units.
There's a front building and a rear set cottage, exactly.
And the overall lot depth is actually a bit less than 100 feet. It looks like it's 93 to 96 feet or so.
Yes.
And then, they said to get the existing deck, the only net change is the firewall. Is the rise and the run, were you able to maintain that, or is that...
That's the rise and run is current code, yes.
Okay.
And so we're able to maintain that. So the stair configuration will be the same.
Okay.
And the lot is 96 on one side and 95 on the other side, something like that.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on item number 6 for 51 Oakwood Street. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it's replacing an existing structure in kind with the one change of a firewall to meet current building code requirements. It's a shallower lot than typical, two buildings on the lot with totaling 3 units. And
Section 311 notice has expired. There were no discretionary review requests, so we can move on to
item number 7, case number 2013.1209V, 2872 Folsom Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Minister Sanchez and Madam Secretary. My name is Fred Foote, and I'm pleased to represent the Yoga Society of San Francisco as one of its architects. This initial photo is the front of the building from 25th Street. It's a, and the Yoga Society is requesting a variance to allow an existing one-story structure that extends approximately 14 feet over the rear yard setback line. This one-story addition is an integral part of the 1895 Queen Anne Victorian building that has served as the home of the Yoga Society since 1973. Site plan shows the property and the area of this one-story addition on the rear of the Victorian here, 25th Street, is over here, and the part that extends over the setback line, the 30-foot setback line, is along that line that you can see there. The addition itself is a small wood frame addition with a roof deck. The Yoga Society believes the facts in this application for a variance establish the findings required by the planning code. Briefly, they are: the Yoga Society is a not-for-profit organization and has been a valued member of the neighborhood for over 40 years. This addition, constructed in 1980, serves as a classroom, faculty lounge, and sleeping quarters for the manager. This use is an integral part of the functioning of the Yoga Society. The 493-foot square foot portion of the one-story structure does not affect any adjacent properties, and the use of this property by the Yoga Society is consistent with the San Francisco General Plan. The aerial view here, you can see that the blue arrow points to the addition. It's that dark area in here. This is the rest of the garden. It's a double wide lot and has a very nice garden in the back that the Yoga Society uses for their, you know, for their purposes. In context, this small structure does not affect the neighboring properties and is also set back from the side property line. As you can see, the neighboring property here has a stair in the back and another structure in their rear yard. So we trust that this will meet the requirements of the planning code and request your approval. Thank you.
Thank you. You noted that the addition was built around 1980. Do you know if there'll be any changes required to the structure to meet current building code requirements as part of the legalization?
We've looked at that and expect to apply for a building permit as soon as practical after this approval. And we don't see any major changes that will be required to the structure. If whatever changes would be minor.
And, I mean, the spiral stair, you don't anticipate needing to change that?
Well, we would like not to change it, but if it has to be changed to comply with the building code, we would reconstruct the stair in a different configuration from the spiral.
Because that would also need a variance, just to clarify, if the stairs are in the required rear yard. So, okay. You know, what we're reviewing today is essentially what is there. So correct. If there are changes, we'll need to review them and make a determination about if a new hearing is needed.
Okay. Understood.
Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. On item number 7, please step forward. This is 2872 Folsom Street. Thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning. You'll get 3 minutes.
Yes, and I'm speaking on behalf and in favor of this variance, and I'm the manager, also the board member of a Yoga Society. And this our president Nguyen couldn't come here because emergency. I just want to read this and add a few more comments to it. The Yoga Society has occupied the buildings and 2872 Folsom Street since 1973. We have already tried to be good neighbors. We are the interfaith, religious, spiritual organization, which is open to all, offers a means for individuals of all traditions to experience their faith through the unifying principle for yoga and spirituality. Our members include Christians, Jews, and Hindus, Buddhism, Buddhists, and Muslims. Our cosmic temple was completed in 1976, offered daily services incorporating the Vedic fire ceremony, and universal prayer for healing and the world peaces. And the service open to the public at no charge. We also offer classes in yoga, yoga philosophy, and spirituality, as well as music, dance and other cultural events. Our activity are free or by donations. Our members and teachers are multicultural, multilingual. We have offered programs in English, Spanish, Portuguese, Chinese, and multiple Indian languages. And we're representing the fusion of Eastern and Western religious cultural elements and promote the unity among people, all background, all religious beliefs. Unpermitted extension, which is the subject of this hearing, was added to approximately 1980. It was originally planned as instruction and a practice space for students of international school massage therapy as a certified a private post-secondary training, which was operated by Yoga Society of San Francisco. Sometimes after school closed in 1992, the extension was converted to the private sleeping quarter and office space and the staff lounge for the teacher and our resident manager. All of our staff are unpaid volunteers, provide some form of housing for resident staff and visiting teachers is critical to continue operation of our organization. We're dedicated to public services and we're suited to assist and a community in time of the needs. Our building has served the two major San Francisco earthquakes and so on and so forth. So we have and the three neighbors next to us has written to supporting this applications variance and legalized extension in the backyards. So there's our exhibits and the three and immediate neighbors and have written their documents here as well.
Thank you. I like the floating photos. It's like the Ken Burns effect. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? And again, we're on item number 7.
Thank you.
For 2872 Folsom Street. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. We're inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it's existed in its current condition since approximately 1980. We do have evidence that the use was legally authorized in the early 70s, and this expansion of approximately 500 square feet is not a significant expansion of that use, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9. Item number 8 will be continued, we'll go to item number 9. Case number 2013.1160V, 562 to 564 Fell Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, Madam Secretary. Reza Kushnevisan, SIA Consulting. The project before you is almost a restoration of an early 1900 building. The building basically covers the lot almost entirely. There's two levels of habitable space at this building right now. Which is on the second floor and the third floor, the two units, two flats that exist at this moment. The units have a one-car garage at ground floor. At the back of the garage is unutilized space. We are planning to connect the area behind the garage onto the second floor unit. And also, we are proposing a vertical addition behind the historic facade of this building. The variance that we are seeking, the variances are as follows. You know, rear yard variance under section 134, open space, section 135, and exposure variance for the top floor unit. So as far as the rear yard variance goes, the area that you see in yellow is existing pattern of the mid-block open space. The subject building is this building here with a pitch roof, as marked at red. Most buildings around there also cover the entire lot. There's no pattern of mid-block open space here. Nobody's sunlight or rear yard, you know, will be affected. This is another aerial view. That shows in an angle, showing that the open space, the existing open space for all these buildings that are highly dense is almost non-existent. As for the unit, this is the top floor unit that we are proposing. Can I zoom out? So this is the back of the unit. We are hoping to extend this one bedroom into the rear yard. We are proposing setbacks off of all rear property lines, which so that it would meet building code, and we don't impose any privacy issues to the adjacent neighbors. Also, this yellow area, you know, provides the open space for the new unit that we're proposing. In addition to that, there is another deck that will be, you know, that we're proposing, you know, for this unit in the front. So this is this private open space for this unit, you know, is satisfied fully. This is another diagram of the open space, the mid-block open space. The lower, okay, so this is the building here. The yellow is the open space that exists right now, you know, for the adjacent properties. The existing building has a deck that, with that deck, the building covers a whole lot. What we're proposing is to remove the deck and create a open space, private open space for the lower unit as well. So before, you know, where they didn't really have any open space, you know, now we are providing it at grade. As for the exposure, for exposure variance, the reason the exposure variance, as you know, is requested is because the top floor that we're proposing is going to be basically buried behind the existing facade, and we are hoping to restore the facade to somewhat close to its original shape, therefore we are not planning to touch that facade. So it will be behind the facade, and it will not open directly into a city right-of-way or a compliant rear yard. In essence, you know, we are restoring this building. It's going to get fully seismic upgraded. Fire code requirements will be met, and three family-sized units are proposed.
That's time. Thank you. So we'll move to see if there's any public comment on this item. We're on item number 9 for 562 to 64 Fell Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Bob Harris, and I am totally jumping in this blindfolded, okay? I don't have any big words to explain the reason for me seeing this beautiful piece of property that's abandoned, but basically, I need some property. I'm homeless right now. I'm going through a very, I've been through a hardship all year, but something happened with my auntie's house in Lakeview, where the transformation of her house went to another party, and I just got kicked out. And this was all family, and I decided not to even fight it because I didn't want to be getting into it with family members. over a house because this is where greed starts. And so I'm temporarily on Fell Street, just laying my head because I'm couch surfing right now. But I think that property would be best just given to me, provided that I make necessary arrangements and, fix it up to code, what have you. And I'm not a threat. I'm not a threat. And anything I could do to possess that property, I'm willing to do. And I think it'll be best if you gave it to someone who can actually use it and not abuse it. So on that note, I'm out. And I love you, and I hope you make the right decision.
Thank you for your comments. Any other public comments on this item, on item number 9 for 562 to 564 Fell Street? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
That will be item number 10, case number 2013.1369V, 1811 Baker Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor of the project? You have 5 minutes, ma'am. Good morning.
To zoom in. Thank you. I'm Georgiana Kleeman with Sutro Architects, and I have my clients Adam and Kirsten Howe, the property owners. We're proposing a rear and second floor addition to an existing one-story over basement single-family residence. The house is currently zoned RH2, and it's a historic home that was built around 1881. To summarize the findings, our exceptional circumstances. Immediately adjacent buildings on either side of 1811 Baker are also one-story single-family residences. Therefore, we're held to the 45% rear yard line setback here rather than a typical 25% single-family residence rear yard line. It's also a historic building that is already set back significantly from the street, and we are setting back our second-floor addition beyond the front facade of the building and notching it at either side to respect the existing historic home. The addition would allow for the preservation and enjoyment of the property as a family home, and if we were literally to comply with the code, the rear and second floor addition would be quite small. Our additions are similar in scale to existing additions, two doors down at 1815 and 1817 Baker Street. Granting the variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare. The rear and second floor addition have been modulated to maintain the integrity of the existing historic home and maintain light, air, and privacy to the immediate neighbors. And granting the variance is in harmony with the general purpose of the code and will not adversely affect the master plan. The additions will not change the occupancy of the building, interfere with existing residents or businesses, and the character of the community will be maintained. We've worked extensively with planning department staff to modulate the design to respect the neighbors' light, air, and privacy. The existing first floor actually extends to approximately the 25% rear yard line on the north side. And on the south side, there's a small area that projects in front of the neighbor's existing window along with a solid wall. So at the first floor, we're proposing to extend to the 25% rear yard line, regularize the rear to make a nice family kitchen area, and then on the south side, actually to pull back from the existing residence and remove that small section of the first floor that's adjacent to the neighbor's home and the solid wall, so we'd be set back 3 feet from that neighbor to the south to provide light, air, and privacy. At the second floor, we're maintaining that 3-foot setback on the south side. We're also providing 3-foot notches on either side at the front to maintain the integrity of the historic home and setting back over 19 feet from the front of the building, again, to maintain the integrity of the historic home. On the north side, we're notching the building again to respect the light, air, and privacy of the neighbors to the north. And then in addition, we are setting back the entire second floor addition, 2'10", from the 25% rear yard line, just to modulate the rear of the building a bit more. We think the scale of our proposed addition is compatible with the surrounding buildings. This is an aerial view. The subject property, 1811 Baker, is here in the center between the two existing smaller historic homes. Our addition will be similar in scale to the two additions at 1815 and 1817 Baker. And the surrounding buildings on California Street and Sacramento Street are already significantly larger than this property, and we're maintaining the mid-block open space as well. So that's it for our presentation, if you have any questions.
Thank you. So, and I think it was a very thorough presentation. We did receive one comment,
yes.
I think maybe the only comment, from a property on California,
yep.
that they have themselves a non-complying structure that extends into the required rear yard, almost to the rear property line.
Yes.
And they're one property removed from yours. Have you discussed their concerns with
We've
them?
Been on the phone with him a lot in the last couple of days. He's talked to Sarah, and actually he agreed yesterday. We made a compromise with him. We proposed a pretty detailed, elaborate cornice on the second floor. We've agreed to just do a flat cornice or flat trim up there to minimize the volume, and he's agreed not to pursue a complaint.
That's just at the rear of the property?
Just at the rear of the property.
Okay.
Exactly. And I have the email confirmation
As well. Has our staff seen the proposed changes yet?
You know, we haven't submitted the drawing, but we can.
Okay, I think that would be good. Just be sure that our preservation folks review it. And if it's at the rear, I would imagine that it's not going to be much of an issue.
Okay.
But we definitely need to review that.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 10 for 1811 Baker Street. Seeing no public comment, being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot conditions. It's a slightly longer lot than typical at 106 feet, but you have a significant front setback. It's also been pinched further at the sides at the front, and it's a Category A known historic resource that you've worked with our preservation staff to have a suitable design that's set back significantly from the front, which kind of further pushes development towards the rear of the property. So, and Section 311 neighborhood notification, I think, is forthcoming.
It's out, and it expires on April 19th.
Okay, great. Thank you. And with that, we can move on to the
moving
next item.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2013.1800V, 566 10th Avenue, side yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
Yes.
You also get 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm Leslie Arnold, and I am the architect on the project. And what we are requesting is this is an RH1D, and side yard requirements are 3 feet on each side. But we would like to combine that to over 6 feet on another side to be in consistent with all the other houses. This is a subject property here, and then and this is to the north.
Can you get closer to the mic, please,
so that we can. This is the subject property, and this is the one to the north. And as you can see, all of the houses on this block are set on the north property line. And then there's a large side yard between each one. And the houses along these exposed edges tend to be a lot more articulated and flat along the one that's on the property line. And again, this is the subject property, the two adjacent properties, and you can see they've all gone out quite a bit more than what we are actually even proposing. And they have extended, with this house has extended an addition out on the property line, and most of the houses there have not. Divided the side yards. So if you look at the Sanborn map, this tends to be the pattern where all the houses are built along the north property line, and then there's a large side yard, which was a driveway that allows you to go to the carriage houses in the back along here. And so we want to maintain that. If all the houses, they tend to become very close if everyone made that shift instead of continuing with what's predominantly happening in that area. So what we've proposed is continuing the rear addition along this property line, and then wanting to maintain a large, we have over 7 feet maintained on this side over here. This is a side yard so that you can have access and can come into the back. And that's in keeping with all the other homes. As you can see, this house here extended out along the property line and kept the north, large north side yard. And again, this house did as well. And most of the houses are very much articulated on their south side. And this is an image if we had to do 3 and 3. At that, I think the disadvantage to the neighbors would be that on the north side, there'd be over 12 feet between the two homes. And on this side, there would be only 3 feet over here. And so we are just trying to keep the pattern of what the existing neighborhood has. And this, I don't know if you can see that very well. It does have an irregular mid-block open space. And I don't know if it's easier to see the path. This aerial view is a little hard to see, so I tended to go with showing you the Sanborn map, which shows how all the existing houses were built along one property line.
So the red... And
shifting at the 3 feet on the interior would be somewhat detrimental, since we were trying to open up and have a larger kitchen and want it to go straight out. Okay. Do you have any questions?
Just a couple. So the red hatching, you did that to illustrate...
Buildable area.
But all those buildings aren't actually built out to that
extent. No. If you look, some of them, like on this, you can see some of them have already built out. On this view, they've built out over here along this line. And this is an addition that's been built out along this property line on the two adjacent.
And the Sanborn indicates that the most of the structures at the rear were automobile, were parking.
Right.
Because there's a carriage house in the back of the subject property. Is that
right.
in use
yeah,
for parking as well?
Is what?
Is that currently in use for parking?
No, it is not.
Okay. Do they have parking elsewhere in the building or on the property?
It's sort of in the front. Yes. There's a parking pad in this location, which right here. In this location, there's a parking pad, so they park there. But you can drive all the way down and go into the back.
Okay.
And so we would like to maintain that the carriage houses do exist, and we'd like to maintain that, larger side yard. And so we're required to have 6 feet, 3 and 3, and we're providing 7.
Do you know how long the carriage house has been discontinued for parking and how long the parking pad has been there?
A long time. Some of the houses on the blocks are a little bit wider, some are smaller. If you had a very small car, you could get down.
Yeah.
But it's not really practical on a pragmatic basis.
Okay. Thank you.
So, it's really trying to keep that same pattern.
Yeah,
so at one side, your houses aren't so close when everyone's used to this
and
spacing.
The pattern was probably developed because of auto use to access.
Right. And as you could tell, every house on the block on this side, on 10th, was built along the north property line and then with a large side yard.
Thank you.
So we just want to maintain that.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item for our item number 11 for 566 10th Avenue.
Seeing no public comment, be inclined to grant the requested variance, then noting that there is a very clear pattern of development to the north side property line and not maintaining the two side yards. So be supportive of that request at this time. And we can then move on to the next item.
Item number 12, case number 2013.0791V, 135 Belgrave Avenue, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Craig Nikitas, and I'm here on behalf of the project sponsors. Madam Secretary, if I may, I'll give you the posting affidavit. On the screen, you'll see a partial site plan. And due to the width of this lot and the RH1D district, a side setback on each side is required. That's about 5 feet in depth. Those are indicated by the red lines there. The existing house is legal, non-complying with that requirement, and has sidewalls that extend about one foot, 4.5 inches, pardon me, on the west side and 1 foot, 7 on the east side. The project would remove an existing hipped roof of a highly complex configuration and with dormers, and replace it with a flat roof that is lower than the peak of the existing roof, but higher at the wall plates in several places, thus requiring a setback. The blue area indicated on this north or front elevation shows you where actual floor area would be increased as a result of that, and the hatched area represents an area where only the volume is increased. There's no increase in the footprint there due to the sloped roof that's removed. Similarly, on the west elevation, we have the blue areas indicating expanded floor area. Again, these are 1 foot, 4.5 inches in depth coming into and out of the sheet. And the hatched areas, again, represent a raised plate. Similarly, on the east side, and this also shows an area where there's an existing deck. And most of the master bedroom expansion that will be enclosed on that deck is within the buildable area. But again, we would like to have that new wall spring from and align with the existing walls of the building. Street view of the proposal. And again, this is the sidewall for the variance. And another rendering from a slightly different point of view. And a little more orthographic. And then a context photo showing the subject property in the context of the multiple three-story buildings on the block face. It's a severely upsloping lot, higher than 20 feet differential from front to rear, so the mapped height limit of 40 feet does apply here. It's not a 35-foot zone, and we're well under that. And as I mentioned, the proposal would reduce the planning code height of the structure as well as some of the mass near the top. We believe we meet the 5 variance findings. The exceptional and extraordinary circumstances include the steep lot, which prohibits feasible development in the steeper portions of it. It also has a cross slope. And the major hardship is, of course, the idea that the existing building was constructed without the 5-foot side yards that were required in subsequent code changes. We also believe that a vertical addition is the most suitable in terms of urban design, making the house fit into the block face better. It's the most suitable in terms of sustainability by not taking away permeable area, usable open space, and mid-block space. We think we meet the findings and the Section 101B priority findings and respectfully request the variance be granted.
Thank you. So we've received several letters in support and opposition to the project. The letters of opposition seem to have concerns related to the bay window at the front of the property, which is within the buildable area, not part of the variance.
But at the rear, the window for the master bedroom, there's been a request from the adjacent property owner that to raise that window. Which is that window is part of the variance. It's in the side yard at that wall.
So. Understood. One correction is it's not a master bedroom. It's a subordinate
bedroom.
A guest bedroom.
Thank you. Yes.
The other issue is that even if we constructed a code-complying wall there, the window would still have the same outlook. This is an area on the deck. And right now, the aperture is the whole depth of the deck that can be viewed down into the yard. The window will severely narrow that and limit it, especially from the center of the room. I do have a photo or two taken from the deck that'll give you an idea. Unfortunately, I thought there'd be a computer hookup here, and maybe this won't work well.
There should be a computer over
there.
Yeah,
but that's something I want to show. We'll try with the hard copies. This shows a photo taken from the deck. You can see the stucco guardrail and a glass windscreen that looks toward the Jordan residence.
And how far are you away from the parapet on that?
Approximately 3 feet.
Okay.
Here's another photo that's somewhat difficult to see through because the windscreen happened to be a little dirty when the photo was taken. But again, you can see the windows in the Jordan residence. And it would require someone to actually stand in the sill and crane their head to look into the neighboring house. We believe that with the 311 pending, we have some time to continue to work with the neighbors. But the owners are very desirous of this window due to the view over Tank Hill and the light and air it provides the guest room. We're in a dense urban neighborhood, and people's concerns about privacy can often be met on their own property, either with screen plantings or shades or louvers. So we hope that the window won't be an issue.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see, is there any public comment on this item, on item number 12 for 135 Belgrave Avenue?
Hold on, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Scott Jordan. So we live next door. We're in the Jordan residence. And we're closest to the wall and variance in question. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My wife and I strongly oppose the variance. And the proposed remodel of the variance would enable for two reasons. One is the hardship. I think that's in some of the letters you talked there. I won't go into it. What's most important to us is the fourth criteria, that the variance will be materially injurious to the property in the vicinity. Sorry, I can't see these words. We purchased our home in 2010. It was a dark time for buying, as you know, in the city. We were still in a competitive process for our house with several other bidders. Why? There's two unique features to our house. One is the view, which is very nice in the front. But two is the back of the house, which is very private, yet it's quite open and sunny, as you could see from that picture. While their application points out that it's the same footprint, it does not capture the full story. That variance would allow the fines to enclose what is now an open area and create what is really a livable space. With a large window that they propose that glares directly into our back deck, our living room, kitchen, eating area, as well as our upstairs bedrooms, specifically our soon-to-be, if luck stays with us, our baby room. It will also block our light in our back deck. Despite what they tell us and despite what those pictures are supposedly meant to show, as you can see, hopefully here, if you could pull that. That is the umbrella. That is that window, which was dirty, and supposedly you can only see the top of our house. So this variance and the remodel it enables, we believe, materially impacts the value of our house. It removes the privacy we enjoy and permanently alters our ability to enjoy our indoor and outdoor living spaces. I want to say and be on record saying here that we have been trying to support the clients in their project ever since it was first represented in June of last year. We've consistently held that position that we've been wanting to help. And we would be in support if our concerns and those of Deborah Dowd, which I think you received her letter across the street, are met. There are simple remedies to the privacy issues. And we have offered them some
seconds.
Of those. Thank you. But our concerns through this whole process have been dismissed and ignored. The disclosures that you've received offer glaring misrepresentations of the conversations that we have had with them. And just recently we discovered that they have actually lied to one of our neighbors about our acquiesce to the project. I understand their anxiety, but the fact pattern is this. They've misrepresented things. Your first sentence today was about the facts. We're concerned that you haven't received them. We're concerned the people who wrote in support have not received them either. Thanks.
Thank you. So, you know, the variance is for 18 inches into the side yard. So if that wall and the window were to be set back 18 inches, you would not have any opposition to the project, or there would still be concerns about the privacy?
I'm not good with measurement math, so I apologize. What we offered, if this helps, is if there was a window that maybe started at shoulder height or something, still offered the light they want and all that, but just would be awkward to have to stand up on your toes or something to look down or whatever, something that at least made the privacy what it was. From what we saw in the plans, it was pretty easy that there would be a glare down into our bedrooms as well as into our back area and living spaces.
But isn't that the existing condition with the deck and actually the deck?
Which is a usable space, but it's outdoors. And as you know, in San Francisco, it's not what I would call livable space. It's a back deck that we've never seen anyone on except when they've had parties, which is fine. It's different when it's, we think, a livable space where they're someone who's in that bedroom, be it a guest or however it's used, would be able to stand there in warmth and stare down. Is that, I'm just trying to give you a picture of what we're thinking.
I understand.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 12 for 135 Belgrave? I think there's no other public comment. Project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. I would just reiterate that windows facing other people's yards in the city are commonplace. And while we have respect for the privacy issue, we don't feel this window is an intrusion out of the ordinary on privacy.
Thank you. So with that, we'd close the public hearing. Appreciate the concerns that have been raised, and there's been both support and opposition, and we had a much more contentious variance a couple years ago further down the street on Belgrave that many people came out in opposition to, so I'm familiar with some of the concerns of the neighbors. In this case, I do not believe that those concerns justify denial of the variance, and I think that the facts are such that a variance can be supported for this. First, in regards to the bay window at the front, that is not even subject to the variance. That's completely within the buildable area, and it is a very small portion of the building, only 18 inches, that on both sides that they're seeking a variance from to build essentially within the same footprint but to carry the walls up. In regards to the privacy, I would request that the parties still meet and discuss alternatives. There's still the ability to file a discretionary review at the Planning Commission and have a hearing there. The Planning Commission may have different opinions, but you know, definitely would suggest that the parties meet and continue discussing that. I think the existing condition is a deck, and you know, we often hear about privacy concerns from decks. And so typically, when someone would be enclosing a space, and we have to also consider the use of that space, and a guest bedroom, I think, is, in terms of function, is much more likely to preserve privacy to another property than a deck would. And I think that the project sponsor was very, I think, appropriate in saying the aperture will change. So we're, you know, going from a big, broad view now on the deck, no limits essentially with that windscreen, to a smaller window, and you know, just the function of the room. I don't know that people will be standing, you know, 3 feet away from that window, always looking down into a rear yard. I mean, if its function is a bedroom, it'll probably mostly be used for that. So with that, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to our final item.
Case number Item number 13, case number 2013-1758V, 384 11th Avenue, rear yard and usable open space variances sought. Sponsor of the project, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Waylon Lum, and I'm the owner of the property. And we are requesting granting of the variance so that this property can be returned back into a single-family dwelling. It's been a hardship because this property, a dental office, has not been able to be leased in 18 to 24 months. The floor plans and such doesn't allow any other use than the way that I have designed the office, and the property is landlocked. It's only 975 square feet, so there's no possibility of rear yard. It appears to be part of the original parcel here. And when I purchased the property in 1978, the asbestos siding and so forth were done in 1931 and 1951. And then I converted it to my own personal pediatric dentistry office. And I was there till 1999. And I sold my practice, and my tenants then stayed there till about 2009, when they bought their own buildings and moved out, which gave me an opportunity then to upgrade the building. It looks like that today. The interior is all done extensively. The plumbing and wiring and so forth are really saving money for people, but we could not get people to lease the office. One of the problems is that now with the American Disabilities Act, this old Edwardian building does not comply. For instance, the bathroom is too small, and contractors have looked at that, and they would have to tear out part of the front of the building, and this is a historical resource building, so that would not be beneficial. And then the front steps also create a problem as well. So these are deterrents for me to lease the building. And today's dentists now prefer street exposures like these offices here, or this other pediatric dental office and general office on Geary. So we have tried like blazes to rent and lease this. I've put ads in the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry Journal, which is national, international, with no results. Also with the California Society of Pediatric Dentistry, with the California Dental Association, and we have not had any luck in leasing it. And finally had Teppan Associate to list the property for sale, and they have shown it to many, many clients, but it's such a unique property that I developed myself for pediatric dentistry that it's not suitable to be chopped up. Investors came and they want to divide up the building, and there's no good way to do that. And the realtor sent notices to every dentist in San Francisco, and still we didn't have any
30 seconds
luck doing that. So we're requesting that we can reconvert it back. It doesn't have a big impact on the neighborhood. There's half a dozen dentists around. People can support the retail business in the area. So I hope you will grant the variance so that we can convert this back to a single-family dwelling, putting it on the market in San Francisco. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you. That was a very thorough and compelling argument. I really appreciate that. The history is very effective. Do you happen to have a photo of that nice large current photo that you have of the building after your restoration? Just
yes.
Take a quick look at that. So actually on the curved bay, you actually, you know, put proper curved windows.
Yes,
in there.
The planning had us repair and put everything back with trimmings and everything. So
of course they did. Yeah. No, but I mean, I think it's very nice. I mean, it was an improvement from what was there before. I think in the previous photo, you did not have the curved windows in there, and you know, just definitely you care for maintaining this building, and you know, appreciate that you have exhausted all possible ability to use it as it had been converted to the medical office. And you make very compelling arguments for justifying the variance. I don't see anyone here for public comment, so we'll close the public comment and be inclined to grant the requested variance. Thank you
very much.
And that is all. We see no one here for general public, or is there someone not here for any public comment, are you?
No, I'm his real estate broker.
Okay, must be very happy then. All right, so with that, we will adjourn this meeting and we'll reconvene on April 23rd, 2014. Thank you.